good people who have traveled from villages near and far. Lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty? What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Man Tooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of the Nothing But Real Reviews and More podcast.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome in everybody to another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Matt McNeil.
What's up?
Aaron Cronican.
Hello.
And Shane Cronican.
How's it going?
Guys, we have an excellent episode on today's episode that will be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I feel like I've done that intro before.
Probably.
Or some variation of it.
Yeah. But honestly, it kind of hits home with me, you know? Like, that's a funny intro.
If you say so.
Yeah, I don't say so. Guys, we have Ellen on today's episode. Does anyone want to take over?
Yeah, God. Please, anybody. Just excellent. Excellent episode is what you said. Yep. And then you lead with that.
Yep, I know. Apologies all around, everybody listening. But we have Alien on today's episode, a review of Alien for you guys. So we talked about it at the very end of last week's episode, right?
Yes.
So this was literally one of the lost episodes. Before we were Movie Review Crew, we were a little podcast that I named it as a very, very, very sentimental name. It's called Nothing But Real Reviews and More. It's not a mouthful at all. It's fine.
Which no, still has an active Facebook page.
Is it really?
I keep getting notifications for it.
That's funny. That's funny. Anyway, yeah, so we were Nothing But Real Reviews and More, and as we were figuring things out, Alien was one of the pilot episodes. So this is coming back to our roots, basically.
And it is a listener request, which is why we had the opportunity to revisit it now.
That is true.
It was requested by Max.
And I think Alien is the movie that put us on this format. Because remember when you tried to do that stupid, and I'm sorry to call it stupid, but it was that interview format where you just ask us all a bunch of questions and then string it all together.
Like, honestly, I'll defend that format to my death because I do think that would be a legit format for something like this, but it took so long to edit.
Right. Not only would it be an editing nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, plus if you just want to ask us questions, just ask us.
Exactly.
You know? Well, that's, you know what, never mind. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't think it's probably just not a good fit for this group.
Right. Agreed. Because you guys are all cynical and I'm a genius.
Correct. Yeah.
That first part is true.
I'm a genius.
Exactly. Too late. I already said correct. I got to go with it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Half correct.
Guys, do geniuses like still exist? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, there are some still alive. Sure, yeah.
But, I mean, like, do we know of them? Hear me. Okay, like, Einstein, did they know he was a genius at the time? Or, like, looking back, were they just like, no, that guy was pretty smart?
Yeah, but are you talking about, I mean, because there is a number. There's a way to quantify genius or not genius. Okay. So,
yeah.
Like, we know it.
Okay, well, then how do I get in that club?
Get smarter.
Yeah, I would start looking up how to cheat.
Read dictionaries. Okay. You gotta be born that way.
Okay, so this is all sounding A, not very fun, and B, not very practical. So I am just going to self-diagnose myself.
Remain a secret genius.
Yeah, I'm a geniusosity. Is off the scales. Anyway, should we move into what have you watched lately?
Sure.
Okay, Aaron, you started it. So what have you seen lately?
Oh boy, not much. I tell you what I did watch is four
freaking hours of Zack Snyder's director cut.
I'm which, so sorry.
Let yeah, me break it well. Down for you. It's 4 freaking hours of the same garbage that made the first 2.5 hour version garbage. That's not garbage.
All true.
They changed the colors. It's still crappy CGI. It's still idiotic fights where nobody gets hurt. It's just not good. And to think that now people are talking about this continuing the opportunity for Zack Snyder to make a sequel. Just burn.
It's a huge movie just now.
Put this DC extended universe in the trash can and set it afire. It's poop. It needs to be just trash.
I disagree. I don't this his and I believe I talked about it a bit on the last week's episode. It's a fine movie. It's upgraded to a fine movie. It still has flaws. It's way too long.
That's my.
But it's a fine.
Extra 2 hours to turn it into a fine movie.
It flows more. It makes sense actually.
It's but the fact that people are like, see, if you just let him do it, it's like there's no studio in the world is going to let you release a 4+ hour cut of your movie into theaters.
Well, they'll just let him, they'll cut it into 2 movies and let him make 2.
No.
Or just do like they did with The Hobbit and make 1 movie into 3 movies unnecessarily.
Or never greenlight a big budget movie with Zack Snyder.
The Hobbit movies, but see, and the Hobbit movies were trash though, Shane. So
no, I know that's what I'm saying that would be what we would get though.
Ah, okay, yeah.
I'm gonna look it up on Rotten Tomatoes.
DC should just not try to copy Marvel anymore. They should just do their own thing.
Yes, they should. They should stick to.
They should stick to Batman. That's what makes
movies.
Them money.
Not yes. Independent movies, but movies that are independent of each other.
Separate, contained stories. They cannot pull off the extended universe.
They can. They just don't have the patience to do it.
Well, and
they bring in James Gunn.
The DC, like even in the comics, the DC universe is just kind of trash and does not translate well to film.
There are just so many. I guess it's, I don't know. My problem is how desperate, and like you said, they are just trying to be Marvel. And did you guys see the trailer for the Suicide Squad movie?
I sure didn't.
It's written and directed by James Gunn, and it looks like
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy with DC characters copy pasted. Yeah. They're all cracking
R-rated Guardians
jokes. It's looks bad.
It probably will be.
I think will be fun. I don't think it will be good.
I mean, I will say that the Harley Quinn movie was better than I thought it would be. So maybe it won't be a dumpster fire.
But the problem that Marvel created is that what fans want and expect, and it's just awful in my opinion, is that every superhero movie has to be some comedy movie where every hero is just, every line is a little quip. It's terrible.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I mean, we should just mercifully please just put an end to superhero movies and move
please,
on to something
for
else.
A while. Take a break.
I think
movies
they're fine.
And TV
they're
series.
Fine as long as they just honestly, DC's standalones are good when they're able to explore or even.
I'm sorry. Did you see Wonder Woman 84?
Well, that's part of that universe.
Well, it's a standalone, self-contained. That's not.
And well, that part. Yeah, that was bad. the point is, if they lend the writers and directors a little freedom and let them do their thing, yeah, we might get some train wrecks, but at least they're going to be unique train wrecks. It's not just part of a formula, which I would appreciate that. I mean, Joker was fantastic. Even the TV shows, going back to Disney Plus had that WandaVision, which was huge when it was playing, and that was unique and creative, and it was still part of that universe, but at least they had some freedom to kind of play around with the tropes and create some unique storylines that weren't just factory bullcrap like most of the movies. So there's still room for creativity within the genre. I'm not willing to write it as dead.
Mm. Oh, I'd be willing to write it as dead 5 years ago.
Well, I mean, Deadpool 2 was not 5 years ago. And that was still, I mean, it followed the formula, but at the same time, taking a dump on the formula now, and making fun of the formula. And
Deadpool was like the outs, because it's exactly what you said. It's like making fun of the formula. But now that Disney owns Fox, Deadpool 3 is going to be hot garbage, I guarantee you.
I think they're still going to give those people some creative control. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I don't know. I'm to the point where superhero movies are the same as zombie movies, where every time I see a trailer, I'm like, I just don't care because I'm so done with that genre.
Yeah, but if they stopped making them, then we wouldn't have got Train to Busan.
That's true.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that movie.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what I saw. How about you?
Yeah, I was like,
wait, what did you see? I don't even remember. Oh, yeah. Justice League. That's right.
By the way, guys,
go ahead.
It's sitting at 95%.
It's absurd.
And I think that's because people are realizing that, it's not terrible. It has a cohesive story. I can follow it. It has good moments. It's okay.
Oh, and I will say what was done to Snyder's vision, the version that was released in theaters was just a butcher job, but that doesn't make Snyder's version good.
It makes it good. It doesn't make it the epic that many are making it out to be.
Yeah. Whatever.
But anyways, I
Ben Affleck
not sorry, seen Robert. Any movies lately, but I have been watching Narcos, and I'm into about halfway through season 2, and that's a really, really good show. I can see why that was kind of a.
Is that the one with Pedro Pascal?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, it is. Good. It's very good. Very, very good.
I started it, and I could never really get into it.
Really, I'm digging it so far.
I think that was also around the time where I had just finished a bunch of other 1 hour shows and I needed to break it up.
See, we do. I've been watching with Heather and her parents. So every Friday we'll go over there for dinner and then watch one or two episodes of Narcos. Nice. And so it's weekly. We're going at a slow pace, but it's really, really good.
Maybe I'll have to give it another go. My list of shows are getting better and better, guys.
I'm sorry. I had to. Wow.
Okay.
You said your list of shows. I watched a show on my list that was only on my list because of my wife. And it is the single worst thing I have ever seen in my entire life. The writing was just idiotic.
It was
an HBO show called Sharp Objects. And it was written by the same woman. It was based on the novel by the same woman.
Gillian Flynn.
Yes. She did Gone Girl, I believe, is what she other. Anyways, it had Amy Adams. It had a few good actors. So I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. It looks not like my thing, but it's so incredibly stupid. I don't want to spoil the twist in case somebody wants to watch it, but it's one of the dumbest things I've ever. The twist is
that they're not sharp.
Yep, they are dull butter knife objects. No, it's just, it was bad. I mean, and I was excited. HBO hasn't let me down yet, but good Lord, it was, I would put it as the worst thing I've ever seen.
Ever.
Really?
Ever.
Ever.
Stop.
Ever.
Ever.
Stop.
You watched a 4 hour long movie.
I would, listen to me. There is not one.
Go to the bottom of our movie list and call this Emma for out right now.
I would rewatch. All right, let's do this. I will do this.
Yeah, I don't have
0.5 Devil's Rejects.
Oh, there's no way. No way.
Okay, it's You're the high. Second worst thing I've ever seen. I'm telling you, avoid it at all costs. It's so bad.
What is it called again?
Sharp Objects. It got good reviews, but it's so stupid.
Can I? I'm gonna give a hot take that's probably not popular. I don't like Amy Adams, and I don't think she's that good.
She's not. There, she's great in certain things, but other things it's like, eh, just meh.
Well, that's basically every actor.
True. That's better than most actors to say that you're great in anything. So, whatever. Good job, Amy Adams. But your show sucks. For 6 Oscars.
I mean, they can't all be winners.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was directed by the same guy that directed Dallas Buyers Club. It had a lot of good talent involved, which is why I gave it a shot. And good Lord, it's bad.
Here's a this or that for you, Aaron, because I've seen the other half of this coin, because I almost guarantee that you haven't seen it. Would you rather watch the 4-hour Snyder Cut or Monster Hunter?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Monster Hunter.
You're talking about that movie's terrible.
I haven't seen it, but
it's
I would still
so
watch it.
Bad. It's so bad. A couple of my friends went and saw it in theaters, and I didn't go because COVID. But now that it's like streaming, they sat me down and they're like, all right, we're going to watch this movie. And I'm like, okay. And it's every bit as terrible as you think it is. Actually, it's worse than that. It's like Resident Evil 7, 6, whatever, however many movies there are. The last one, it's like that level of bad.
Well, I never saw that one, but.
And apparently they're making another Resident Evil movie, even though the last one was called The Final Chapter.
Well, they're rebooting it, though, aren't they?
I don't know. All I heard was that there's another Resident Evil.
Yeah, but yeah, they I'm probably
fairly certain they're starting over without Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yeah, his
also it might actually be good.
Correct. There's a chance. There's a chance because that man is trash.
Yep, and it's Paul W.S. Anderson did Monster Hunter, so it's every bit as
bad. Isn't he's married to Mia Jovovich, yes. Right? That's why she's in everything of his.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like the reason that Helena Bonham Carter is in all of Tim Burton's movies.
Yeah.
So we haven't watched a whole lot of good things, huh?
No, apparently not.
But I'm looking forward to Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm skeptical. I'm actually more excited about the release of Mortal Kombat.
Of course
Kombat.
I'm skeptical, but
oh, I'm I don't think it's gonna be good, but no. I'll still watch it.
Hopefully it's bad good though.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what they'll do with Mecha Godzilla, because that's pretty much been confirmed at this point.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. When does Godzilla come out?
The 31st.
Wednesday.
Yeah, a few days here.
Wow. All right. That's not gonna be able to rent right away though, right?
HBO for free.
HBO Max. Yeah.
Okay, with a subscription.
All right. Okay. Well,
yeah. Then, so we're all just gonna go to Aaron's house and watch it.
Listen, when we say for free, we mean it's not like one of those crappy Disney plays where you have to pay for your subscription and pay for the movie.
Yeah, this ain't a $30 rental like Mulan.
I think IMDb has a service now that like you can watch it with free with ads, right? Like there are some movies. Know.
There's some movies, and it's all old crappy movies.
Okay, well, you know.
Look, all
I'm saying, it's a possibility, and it's free.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to watch commercials.
I'm not trying to watch commercials. Oh, commercials are the death of me.
Matt is on his throne.
Yeah, I've been spoiled.
Apparently. Okay, quick question. Has anyone seen the trailer for Nobody, the Bob Odenkirk movie?
Yes.
I have.
I want to see that. That's out at the theater here.
Yep.
And I want to see that so bad.
It's got good reviews, too.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go see it on my days off.
Yeah, I was... I don't know what we were watching, but something popped up with the commercial, and I was like, this is dope, and it's Bob Odenkirk. Like, I've never seen him before, and
follow a lot of action websites and Facebook pages and things like that, and
yeah,
everything that I've read that those guys they've watched it and put reviews on their sites, things like that, it's all been overwhelmingly positive. So I'm pumped for it. I think it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, so that's on my list to see, but who knows if I'll ever get around to it. I just watched Arrival for the first time.
Oh. Arrival's a really good movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was.
But you didn't watch that when we reviewed it?
Nope. There's a There's a whole bunch of movies I was not able to watch when we reviewed it.
Was that one that you were, that you pretended you saw it when you reviewed it, or?
he probably gave some score like green,
green for money.
Yeah. Okay.
He probably he probably rated Arrival on time.
No, I think he might have rated it onions because it had layers.
Okay, hold on. We're making fun of me right now, but these are all classic jokes that we have all remembered. So, did they work? Were these jokes effective?
Yeah, that's why we remember. Moving on.
Mm-hmm. My point.
Definitely remember because they were funny and not because we like to make fun of you at every opportunity.
Well, I think we should get into Ellen now.
All right.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's get into Alien. Alien from 1979, rated R, hour and 57 minutes long. It's a horror sci-fi film. After a space merchant vessel receives an unknown transmission as a distress call, one of the crew is attacked by a mysterious life form, and they soon realize that its life cycle has merely begun. Directed by Ridley Scott, in the screenplay by Dan O'Bannon. Correct? Yes.
Yeah.
And story by Ronald Shusett. I don't know if I saw that right. Starring Sigourney Weaver, Tom Skerritt, John Hurt, Harry Dean Stanton, Veronica Cartwright. What are the big names here, guys?
Yeah, you name them. Also, Ian Holm as Ash and Yaphet Kotto as Parker. And that's it.
Okay. Cinematography by Derek Van Lint. I'm sorry. And on Rotten Tomatoes. It's not pulled up for me.
Great.
Okay, hold on. No, don't worry, I got it.
It's got a 98% certified fresh from the critics and an audience approval rating of 94. And I don't want to enable ads. Rotten Tomatoes, what are you doing?
Mike, do me a favor and read some of those rotten reviews. I have to know their opinions.
Perfect, I will. By the way, guys, 9.1 out of 10 from critics, audience score of 4.4 out of 5. Let's dive deep into some of the negative reviews. But someone can fill space until I find one.
Well, I was looking at this cinematographer, and it's odd.
He didn't do much either.
He's done six other things that he's.
And most of them are shorts.
Yeah. And he got into special effects for one movie, did X-Men. That was it in 2000. Like, this dude just did whatever he wanted whenever he wanted.
Good for him. All right.
I mean, when you did Alien, you pretty much set exactly for life. It. You don't have to work.
All right, guys.
I mean, I doubt he made that much money off of this, but.
So here we go. Scrolling back, the first negative review I can find is from 2010. And it's from Time Magazine.
Okay, so 2010. So this is, you know, we're talking about 11 plus years after its release.
Yes. It is depressing to watch an expensive, crafty movie that never soars beyond its cold desire to score the big bucks.
What?
Really?
The second one I can find is from...
In 2010, they wrote that too. When they see movies that are simply made for the big bucks and they rewatch this and think that?
Or maybe watch it for the first time. Who knows?
Well, even so, I mean, if that was the case, it'd really blow their minds after seeing 2010 movies.
Fair point. The next one from 2007, so still almost 30 years. It's from the Chicago Reader. An empty-headed horror movie with nothing to recommend it beyond the disco-inspired art direction and some handsome, if gimmicky, cinematography.
Okay. Wow. Whoever wrote that needs to be thrown on top of the Chicago
disco
railways.
Inspired? Is it just because of the flashing strobes toward the end?
I don't know. The next one I found from 2005 from the New York Times. Are you guys seeing a trend here?
Uh-huh.
They're all top critics. They're all top critics.
They're all movie snobs.
I think that's the trend that we are seeing.
But even so, movie snobs should love this movie.
Anyway, here we go.
I'm so confused.
From the New York Times, from May 9th, 2005. Things no longer surprise or tantalize us as they once did. In a very short time, science fiction films have developed their own jargon that's now become a part of the grammar.
I don't know what that means.
Is their complaint is this movie's old?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't even know how to understand what they're saying. And well, I mean, people are entitled to their opinion. I'm sure they're not the only ones that don't like this movie. I just think it's
how dare a movie be made in 1979?
I don't.
Those are the only ones negative.
I don't get it.
Out of all of the IMDb ones,
I mean, geez, I'm just saying, it is hard to pick on this movie. So spoiler alert, it's going to get a very high score. So
it is a nearly perfect movie.
So geez,
I only really have like one complaint about the entire movie, and that's Veronica Cartwright. But that's a very small complaint.
Do you want to start with the negatives, guys?
Let's do it.
Okay,
let's pile on this bad boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just did mine.
Yeah, that was mine too. You took mine.
I was going to bring it up, but you know, how many times have we seen this and we just go into it like, oh, here we go. Veronica Cartwright whining and screaming and being illogical while the rest of the crew does their best to be the opposite. But
no, that's not my complaint. It has nothing to do with their character. The character's written fine. She cracks. They're not soldiers and she's terrified. I understand. My complaint is her acting ability to convey that.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, and it's like Jim Carrey style overacting whole way.
Oh no, because Jim Carrey's entertaining.
That's fair. She wasn't that bad.
It's Russell Crowe overacting.
It sticks. Or Russell Crowe singing.
Yeah, or Russell Crowe doing anything.
Stop. He's good.
So our negative for Alien is that it reminds us of Russell Crowe.
I mean, that is a negative, yeah.
No, but I mean, honestly, though, it's hard to the directing, the pace, and the way it lets things happen, and the way it hides most of everything until three quarters of the way through the movie. I mean,
there is the whole thing is one more thing before we start getting positives. Some of this now overall. The sound design is like amazing. It's fantastic.
Incredible.
Beyond words. But there are some moments where I feel like the sound kind of swallows the dialogue, if that makes sense, where it's hard to understand some of the things they're saying.
There was only one scene when they were doing the initial operation on the face hugger, but they were wearing masks, breathing masks. So it was hard to hear what they were saying. But other than that, I didn't have trouble.
Even some when and there was one that was intentional where he was intentionally drowning them out, her out, Ripley, Yaphet Kotto's character. I can't remember his name.
Oh, with the steam thing.
Yeah, so that was intentional. So I'm not talking about that. But there were other scenes when they were in areas like that with the steam hissing and it was not intentional, where it was the dialogue. It was the mixing, I think, that was just a little off. I don't know exactly. I don't know enough about that to pinpoint what it was, but I had a hard time understanding the dialogue. But that's a very, very, very small nitpick, but I noticed it.
I do have another like itty bitty teeny tiny, almost inconsequential complaint about the movie. And that is whenever you see more than just the head or the face of the xenomorph, it looks a little goofy because whoever was wearing the suit, like when Parker's in the vent and they do like that jump scare and the alien Dallas, like sticks his hand out, like, gotcha. Oh yeah, Dallas, you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
And the alien does that jump scare thing where he like sticks his hands out like ah, and then
yeah, and it's like you almost hear in your head he's going boo.
Right. And then the other one where I forget which character he kills, but the alien does like this weird like slow-mo ballet thing, and like that's kind of odd.
Yeah, and they definitely evolved the movement and how the alien, the xenomorph, would act in Aliens, but right. Still, this was definitely a different type of movie. And most of the time you honestly didn't see the alien. That was part of the fear factor.
Oh, for sure. And so, and a lot of the reason why is because the suit was kind of goofy.
True.
And you could tell that it was just a dude in a suit. But the all of the close-ups that they do on the Xenomorph, fantastic. Yeah. The little mouth and then the big mouth. And,
yeah, the first scene of that with the big mouth and the aliens dripping and he just opens his mouth and then the little mouth comes. Like, that first scene was shot so incredibly well.
Yeah, creature design. I mean, the whole, even to the alien planet and the alien ship, all of the set designs and creature designs, like everything worked perfectly to create the exact right atmosphere.
Oh yeah, like the bringing on H.R. Giger to design everything was a brilliant move, because he, like, his artwork doesn't fit in any other universe except this one.
And it feels alien in the sense that, like, it's just so unfamiliar to anything that you've seen, that
right.
Just even them entering the ship, like it's an unknown ship, they don't know who it belongs to, what race, whatever. Even that ship itself, the insides and the way that was built and even the scale of it all was just unsettling. It was just off enough to make you on edge.
That's the thing. It never ratchets up until the very end. It's just this constant dread. And it's because of how alien everything is, how strange. It's not, you know, like you said, the ship that they investigate, then this face hugger that's just insanely freaky, and the way you fight, like the chest bursting scene, and then the way it evolves so quickly into this perfect killing machine. I mean, it just constantly keeps you on edge without being too chaotic. And like the newer Alien movies went for more action, more like Aliens, but much worse.
Right.
And this one stands out because it is just kind of a slow burn.
Oh, this is like the slowest of slow burns.
Yeah, it's
like
a
45 minutes, nothing happens.
Yeah, but nothing happens, but that's what lures you into that. I mean, I think the pacing and the way it plays itself for that first hour of the movie is fantastic.
And I'm not complaining about the pacing.
So when we talked about Hereditary, the big thing about that was the tension, that just mm-hmm. constant tension. And I don't think this has that, but I think what it does have is a similar like a claustrophobic feel, even just from that was part of the ship design. Everything is, I mean, obviously it's sci-fi, so everything feels like a spaceship, but it's a used spaceship. It feels like a real life practical spaceship where
everything's like they're dirty. Just, everything's
yeah,
wet.
It's a cargo
cramped.
Ship with small entryways. It's not fancy. I mean, there's hissing tubes and dripping. Whatever. I mean, it's everything's so claustrophobic. You have that built-in sense of I don't know if it is tension. It's just like that kind of foreboding claustrophobia, which works well for what they're going for.
Oh yeah, and especially and they also shoot a lot of close-ups, which just adds to that feeling of claustrophobia. Like I've seen this movie I don't even know how many times, but I've never really noticed how many close-ups there are until this most recent watch through.
Because it's done well, it didn't feel. It felt like it fit. I guess it doesn't feel like just a decision for no reason to do close-ups. It
right.
fit. The feeling of the movie, it fit the I mean, they are cramped, so we feel cramped as well. We, the audience, it just fits. Unlike some movies, it I don't understand the choice in some movies, but this one it makes a lot of sense and it works incredibly.
Yeah, and the pacing, like yes, it's a very slow movie, and you don't really see anything until they get to LV-426 and the facehugger comes out, and that's probably a good 25-30 minutes into the movie. That whole buildup is just the crew interacting with each other. So you get to understand these characters, and you learn the
100%
the dynamic of, like, you know, who's the captain, who's next in charge after them, and so on down the line. And then you get a sense of who all of these characters are, so that when they start dying, for the most part, it means something.
And that's a testament to every single actor in this. They are just, they feel instantly like a real person, just the way they communicate with each other, the little nuances of their character. They instantly feel like a real person. They're just space truckers, basically. And they do an amazing job bringing the characters.
And the very first conversation that happens in the movie is the two maintenance guys complaining about the bonuses. So it's just automatically, like, all of these feel like real people.
And speaking of the way they wrote these characters to be real people and to be just unlimited amount of bonus points for decision making for the most part, especially Ripley's initial decision when they bring back what's his name with the face hugger on him, and they're asking her to open the airlock, and she refuses multiple times, and even Dallas gives her a direct order, and she's like, no, I'm not, you know, 100,000 billion bonus points for making her make the right decision. Eventually somebody overrides that, Ash lets them in, but I mean, that's when you instantly are like, okay, I'm buying into this Ripley character, because she's making the decision based on logic, not just, oh my god, he might die. It's like, okay, what about the rest of us?
Right.
And Ash was an incredible character too, and oh, Ian Holm playing him, I mean, even from the start before it's revealed, you know, 40 year spoiler
alert
that Ash is an android. He's different. He doesn't feel like he fits in with anybody. They don't know him. He's kind of a loner. He's more quiet and reserved. He doesn't feel as human. And then you realize, well, that's because he's not,
right. And they clue you into it right away. Like when in the very first scene, when they all, you know, wake up from stasis, everybody's sleeping and their arms are all, you know, wherever. And then it pans over to Ash's pod, and his arms are just straight by his side. He's just laying there like a slab. And it's like, okay, there's already something off about that character.
Yeah, he's instantly, he feels off. Even the way he moves, the way he talks, he just did.
The way he had zero reaction to the chest bursting scene while everybody else is going crazy while John Hurt's flopping around on the table. I mean, and the way they did it subtly was great.
I can't remember, because I read the trivia, and I don't remember 100% if I think he was one of the only people who was clued in about what was going to happen, because they wanted the reactions for that scene to be as organic as possible. So they didn't tell, like, anybody what was going to happen in that scene.
In that scene, you could see that it had to have been genuine, because you can see Dallas back away and he mouths the words, what the F, but they obviously didn't put that audio in there.
Right.
It was so funny. Like, he's back away and you could see the real shock in every one of those characters' eyes.
It's a brilliant, I mean, it's one of the single greatest scenes in movie history. I don't think that's hyperbole to say that. Do you agree?
Disagree.
It's so amazing. I mean, it's terrifying. It's body horror at its finest. It's that decision to get those genuine reactions is unbelievable. The monster is terrifying.
I miss practical effects like that. And that's half the reason, like when everything is done through a computer, you can't get those organic reactions because they, like, the people have to know what they're reacting to, and they just, you know, pretend like it's there. But when you actually have a prop and something in the room that you can see and touch and react to, then you don't have to tell your actors what's going on, and you can get those genuine reactions. And I know it's cheaper to do things in a computer, but Hollywood really needs to back away from that.
Oh, there's another minor nitpick. That scene when the alien pops out of the chest and then kind of like scuttles away. That was a little silly looking, but before that, I mean, it's only silly because I've seen it 1,000 times, but I mean.
Well, but there are other things that, you know, we kind of joked about how those reviewers were talking about it because talking bad about it because it's old. But I think that actually helps the movie, how it's supposedly futuristic technology, this spaceship that they're in, but everything looks so 70s, I think helps this movie. I think it looks fantastic. It's wonderful how everything looks. It's like old futuristic.
Well, 70 sci-fi is some of the coolest aesthetic of any decade of any genre. I mean,
well, let's talk about Ridley Scott, because this and Blade Runner, like two of the peak sci-fi movies of all time. I mean, just like we're talking about aesthetically, the way they push the genre into something more than just campy, it's fantastic. And then the rest of his filmography's not so great, but
he did some incredible things. I mean, Gladiator, yeah. Say What You Want, that was an amazing movie.
And what else? Go ahead. Black Hawk Down was fine, I guess.
Fine. That movie is amazing.
I'm gonna pull up his filmography right now. Hang on,
As good as you think.
I mean, he did The Martian recently, didn't he? It wasn't that him. That was pretty well received.
All right, so Alien 1979, Blade Runner 1982, Thelma and Louise 1991.
That's a good one.
G.I. Jane 1997, Gladiator 2000.
Did you just use G.I. Jane?
I like that movie.
American Gangster was good. Body of Lies was fine. Kingdom of Heaven, apparently the director's cut's good. I haven't seen it.
Is it 5 hours like Zack Snyder's?
Probably. Oh, come on. White Squall? Come on.
Prometheus, Alien Covenant.
We don't. All right.
Need
all
I
right.
say this more?
Let's not talk about what.
Plus, you're passing over, and this is not sarcasm. I think this is a genuinely underrated movie, Black Rain, with Kirk Douglas. I think that's a fantastic movie.
Also, I think that The Martian is a good movie.
Yeah, of course.
Say what you will about Matt Damon, The Martian's a good movie.
Yeah, 100%.
Matt, I think you're the only one that doesn't like Matt Damon.
No, I hate him.
What?
Yeah, why would I like him? Look at his face.
Oh, true. Yeah,
no, I like Matt Damon. I like Matt Damon more than probably Shane? most of
Oh, yeah, I hate him. More He's than one Shane. Of my least favorite. I can't stand the guy. But I still like The Martian. I think that's a really good movie.
All right. Anything else we need to talk about with Alien? Or are we
you guys ready to rate?
Ready to do this.
I could talk about it for ever, but I'm ready.
We barely touched on sound design, but I think it's fantastic. Everything.
I mean, even the opening, how it's just a panning shot through space, and the letters, the title Alien, just shows up.
Oh, the classic
line
fade
by
in.
Line.
Yeah.
I think even that is just
looks like
incredible.
An alien language until the final lines are put in place. Yeah,
like from,
so good.
From opening shot to closing shot, this movie is so good. I did want to talk about one thing I almost forgot. Ripley claims to like that cat, but when that thing's in that container, she is chucking it around. That cat at least came out with several concussions.
Oh, I guarantee you that when she was hauling that thing around, that the cat wasn't actually in the
Absolutely. But I'm, you know, quote in the movie, the cat is in there. You know, so she's just chucking this thing around like, oh my god, your cat's in there. Careful.
No joke. Also, the star of the movie, Jonesy. best character.
Yeah, he was alright for a cat.
I felt like Jonesy was in there to create tension toward the end to make Ripley go back. I didn't like it a whole lot at all. That was a weak character decision that was out of place for her to go back for the cat, honestly.
Yeah, that is silly. I mean, I don't disagree.
Well, she didn't go back for the cat because she dropped the cat and went back to try to turn off the self-destruct. So the cat was on the way.
I mean, initially she went back to get the cat before she put it in the cage.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, why she had to undo the self-destruct, because she wasted so much time going after a stupid cat.
Meh, whatever. I can look past it. I would do the same thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I know you wouldn't, because you're done.
I'd have thrown the cat when I saw the alien throwing the cat through the hallway as a distraction and then took off.
Well, the alien obviously wouldn't care because he doesn't do anything to the cat.
Because he couldn't find him.
What? There's like a scene where he's like right next to the container and he's peeking in at the cat. And the cat's fine. Aliens don't like cats. They don't care.
Oh, is that canon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's rate this movie.
All right, Aaron, Shane, you picked it.
Aaron, can you do the scoring?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, I don't have my like sheet.
Okay, so I mean, it's clearly one of the best horror movies ever made. It's one of the best sci-fi movies ever made. Everything about it, nearly everything about it is flawless. I mean, there's very, very few things that you could point to that you would even adjust a little bit. I think everything works seamlessly to make it's a classic movie for a reason. It 40 years later, however many years later it's been now, it's still effective. That's insane. Sure, some aspects of it have dated, but the effectiveness of it has not waned one bit in all the years it's been out. It's absolutely incredible. I'm giving it, it's not quite a 10. It's not quite a 10, but I'm giving it a 9.5.
Actually, I'm at the same spot. I was debating 9.5 or 9.75, but watching it for the 1 millionth time or whatever it's been. And I don't know if it's maybe because we've seen it so many times, we try to nitpick. And there were a few things where it's like, okay, that's dated. And I didn't like that decision. And I didn't like that character, but still 100% a must see classic. Everybody should at least give this movie a shot to see if they love it. So 9.5 for me too.
Yep. I'm right there with you. And I actually had the same dilemma. I was like, do I go 9.75 or 9.5? And ultimately, for the exact reasons that you stated, like, I got to go 9.5 with it. There's just some things where, like after they beat up Ash, and then there's that cut where it's like the rubber head and then it cuts and it's the actor.
But that's,
and I'm like,
that's a damn good effect though.
Oh, it's a super good effect.
Yeah. But the cut was a little rough.
It's a very noticeable cut and it just like little things like that. Yeah. But overall it's a very, very good movie.
Nearly flawless.
And as an added bonus, every time I watch it, it makes me want to go replay Alien Isolation. So
that's fair.
Okay. So obviously, Mike, do you want to try to do that math for the average? We all gave it a 9.5. Give it a shot. You can do it, buddy.
Is it six?
Six.
I'm thinking orange.
Yeah. All right, so 9.5. Do you want me to do the this or that?
Yeah, I don't have any of the assets right now. Like
so you know that puts this tied as the third highest score we've ever given. So I'll do this or that with the other two movies that are sitting at 9.5. This or Apocalypse Now?
Oh, this.
I say this.
This is immensely more rewatchable, but that is. That's a brilliant, brilliant movie.
Okay, next one, which is super hard for me. This or Blade Runner 2049?
This. I go Blade Runner. Hard.
This. Blade Runner is like 5 hours long.
True.
Yeah, same thing. If it comes down to rewatchability, I'm watching this. I mean, I just watched this 3 days ago. I could watch it tonight and not be bored.
Right, yep, exactly.
100%. That's
yeah. And I've seen it like 50 times in my lifetime. I mean, it's that good.
Okay, so then this or... Ooh, this we got perfect 10 from Shane and Matt. This or Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, no.
So stupid.
Stand by it. It's a prime perfect example of its genre, but I'm picking Alien.
I also stand by it, and honestly, I think I might lean Little Shop of Horrors.
Well, that's a wrong decision. I don't stand by it anymore. Knock it down to 6.
Okay. This movie,
that's to be fair, it's a really, really tough decision. It kind of depends on my mood.
All right, this movie got 3 perfect 10s and a 9.75. Alien or Princess Bride? And I go Princess Bride.
Princess Bride, 100%.
I think I'd go Alien.
Ooh. Okay, and the only movie ever to receive perfect 10s from the reviewers,
Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan or Alien?
I go
Private Ryan.
I go Alien just because it's more my style of movie, but I can't fault anybody for choosing Saving Private Ryan.
Okay, one more just because I got a perfect 10 from Shane. This or Hot Fuzz?
This.
Dumb. You act like I don't know the movies I gave a 10 to. I'm picking Hot Fuzz.
You handed out like Halloween candy. Perfect 10s all over the place from you.
Yeah, you're a perfect example of the genre. You name a more perfect action comedy hybrid. That's what I thought.
Anyways, Mike, do you have an opinion on Arrival? You said you watched it. That's up in our top 10 at a 9.42. Are you that high on it?
It's good. I don't think I'm that high. Probably like high 8s. I don't want to give a score, but high 8s, low 9s. Between 8.75 and 9.25, somewhere
okay.
in there.
All right. So best movie you've ever seen. Okay.
Yep, basically. Basically. Who's got the picks next week?
You.
Look at that. All right. Pick 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, boy. Another 10 wow. coming up.
Watch that movie for the 8th time on the podcast.
We're doing... Okay, first of all, it'd be the 2nd. And we're doing listener requests, right?
Yep.
I have no problem doing that every time. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I will look through the list and get one picked. Anything else? I mean, what was the final score again? 9.5?
9.5, yep.
All right, easy peasy. Anything else, guys? Did we miss anything?
That's it.
Nope.
All right, guys. Someone on the show.
Tell your friends.
Let's go. But inconspicuously. Through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night. And good luck.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Nothing But Real Reviews and More. Remember to like us on Twitter and Facebook, and subscribe and rate on iTunes.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.